This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, May 6th. I'm Patricia Naft. It's 8 a.m. With only a few days left in Colorado's annual legislative session, some popular bills are falling by the wayside as others wait in limbo. As part of our Capital Conversation series, Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about the dynamic under the Golden Dome.
Joining us, we have Joe Hannell with the Durango Herald and Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. Ivan, there's a lot going on right now. Bills are still actually being introduced.
That is true, and they're being introduced with a lot of things still pending, a lot of really crucial legislation still pending. For instance, there is a bill to forgive the property taxes of people who lost their homes in last year's floods and wildfires. That actually was the first bill introduced in the House, and it's just now making its way through the Senate. There are proposals to try to allow marijuana businesses to create a banking cooperative, and that one, again, is kind of in flux. And there's a new bill that was recently introduced that seeks to compensate victims of 2012's Lower Norfolk Fire near Conifer. It destroyed about two dozen homes, and lawmakers are trying to settle some of those claims by budgeting about $17 million.
There's always a huge amount of activity at the end of the year, and this year I think maybe more so than normal. People are working late into the night, and there's rumors and rumors about rumors. It's reminded me about something a friend of mine wrote about baseball. He was writing about bottom of the ninth inning and how it's mythologized as this dramatic moment when the game swings and everything changes. And that's how a lot of lawmakers are treating it down here. But what it actually is, it's just the moment right before the end. And I think a lot of these proposals that are coming in right at the end on, you know, let's change our marijuana laws, let's regulate edible marijuana, do a big oil and gas bill that we haven't been able to get passed for the last 4 years, but it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen an hour from now. I don't see a lot of that actually happening.
We talk a lot about partisanship inside the building, and certainly there is that, but what I find interesting are measures that overwhelmingly pass in one chamber and then fail in the next. One measure I'm thinking would have gone to the ballot, and it would have changed the Fourth Amendment to protect warrantless searches from electronic information and data, for instance, information on your cell phone. It passed the Senate unanimously and failed in a House committee.
Not only that, it was being sponsored by the Senate President, Morgan Carroll. It had a Republican co-sponsor. And it, like you mentioned, what this would have done is it would have asked voters, should we make explicitly clear in our state constitution that in order for law enforcement to try to get someone's electronic data, whether it's phone calls or text messages, that they need a warrant of reasonable cause. That one, the bill seemed like it had a lot of momentum, and it died almost immediately in the House. The same thing with a bill to ban speeding and red light cameras. Huge bipartisan support, not only in the Senate, but also in the House. Easily passed the Senate. Speaker Ferrandino was sponsoring it in the House, and it didn't die in its first committee, but it was gutted in its first committee and then died in its second committee. So we're getting to the point where a lot of things are moving fast, and things that appear to have a lot of support are also just dying very quickly.
Another one of those was this tax credit for people who live in fire-prone areas at the edge of the forest to cut down some of their overgrown brush. And the theory is that when you reduce the fire hazard on your land, if your neighbor will do it too, then it helps the entire community, cuts down on firefighting costs. That was an expense, they were guessing, of about $300,000, less than 2% of what they're spending to buy and rent airplanes to fight the fires once they actually start. It's a case of the legislature preferring to fund a pound of cure rather than an ounce of prevention.
Thanks. That was Joe Hannell, a reporter for the Durango Herald, and Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the Grand Junction Police Department reported 63 incidents of police use of force in 2013, the most since 2009. A vast majority of the reported force, 45 of the 63 reported cases, happened between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. The report also notes 9 officer injuries in 2013, while just 2 were reported 5 years ago. In 2013, 63,609 calls for 911 service were recorded in Grand Junction, an increase of about 5% over 2012. Republican Representative Amy Stevens of Monument is among a host of lawmakers leaving the state capitol this year because of term limits. She was the House Majority Leader when Republicans were in control, and she was there when the GOP lost that majority. The one-time candidate for U.S. Senate this year has also faced battles from within her own party for her role in helping to create a state-run health care exchange. Some in the GOP see it as an endorsement of Obamacare. Benta Berkland sat down with Stevens to discuss her time in office.
Joining us, we have Republican Representative Amy Stevens. Thanks for talking to me.
Yes, thank you.
First off, you've been here quite a while. Obviously, you're term limited. Give us a sense of some of your favorite moments you've had serving.
It really has gone by very, very quickly. But one of the things that I have loved about this job, I just feel so grateful for, is that I get to learn every day. I get to learn every year because there's always a host of new issues that come up. I never thought I would be engaged in water issues or, K through 12 or higher ed issues. And to me, that has been the amazing part about this job.
Has there been any particular moment that stands out when you look back?
Well, certainly the issue of the health exchange, one could never deny. That was a huge issue. It was a Herculean lift. It was politically charged and also politically misunderstood. And I'm sure that's probably if what I'm known for in terms of legislatively. But I've had others. So, for example, the elder abuse bill. And right now I'm very, very wrapped up and committed particularly to the issue on revenge porn, criminalizing it, because I think we have so many women suffering in this issue. School safety issues. You know, I've been very big on public safety.
And I know with the health exchange proposal, that was controversial within the ranks of your own party. Do you regret anything about that, or it played out how it played out?
I don't regret the exchange, because the consequence would have been surrendering the citizenry of Colorado into a federal exchange, which you and I know is a disaster. In a lesser of two evils, how is this thing going to play out? I still think we created probably the best exchange that we could, and I think it's done a Herculean effort. But the second thing that I do regret was the communication around the bill, why this was necessary at the time, and what we would be facing if we didn't do it.
You served at a time when your party was in the majority, and
yes,
Now they're in the minority. Has that transition been difficult?
For me, because we only had a one-seat majority, and things can change on a dime, to me, it's not been as dramatic, so to speak, because you know that you could lose that at any moment.
And I know you were planning to run for U.S. Senate,
yes,
until Congressman Gardner stepped into that race, but any future for politics? What's next?
Well, right now I'm busy trying to get the Republican National Convention here to Denver, which I think is very important for economic development. Politics is always about timing. I'm very honest when I say I think we have a lot to do with the women's vote in Colorado. I'm probably one of the very, very few women Republican leaders in the state in terms of politically, and I want to see more get up in the ranks of that. And so, as you know, I'm committed to getting women elected, and I think I'll continue to work towards that. And then, if there's an opportunity, we'll see. We'll see as it comes up. What I remain concerned about or see a lack of, even in the 8 years that I've been here, is a respect for institution. History is made here, and I think that some people don't understand that. Many people have a mistrust of government, and I do too, believe you me. But that does not equal and should not equal a lack of respect.
Thanks so
Thank
much
you.
For talking to us. That's Republican Representative Amy Stevens, who's serving her last term in the legislature.
Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.